Hey everyone, I'm Peter and this is Richard, and we're on the set of our What If Discussed podcast because we want to bring you a message from our friends at netsuite.com.
Yeah, if you're a business owner, it doesn't matter what type of business necessarily. I mean, you could be flying people to the stratosphere in a balloon.
A balloon to the stratosphere. That's a business.
We're not going to tell you how to run your business because we're not business experts.
We have no idea. This isn't
a business show. But what we can tell you is you might be making it harder on yourself than it needs to be.
Yeah, that's right. So don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it.
Like Pete said, it's 2021. Get rid of the old spreadsheets. Get rid of the old school outdated software.
Right.
Upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the world's number one cloud business system.
Yeah. NetSuite gives you control and visibility over your financials, your HR, your inventory, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing $1 million or hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite.
Yeah, and it's tried and true. It's not sort of out of the blue. There's already 20,000 people on the NetSuite cloud, so you won't be alone.
Yeah, it's not brand new. It's been around for a long time. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/whatif. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/whatif. That's
netsuite.com/whatif. So, Pete.
Yes.
It feels like it's been a while since the craze that is sweeping the nation and the world, the What If Discussed Trivia Challenge.
Oh.
We haven't had an episode of that in a while where we put you on the hot seat and test your knowledge of, in this case, deeply mysterious scientific matters. How deep do you believe the Earth is to the core?
To the core. So, not the mantle.
No, not that. Yeah, that's a good point, because you could be talking the crust. We could be talking the mantle right to the core.
I'm going to take a guess in miles.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 5,000 miles.
Well, actually, it is in the area code, but it is, and that's actually a pretty good guess. It's actually 6,000 kilometers, 63, give or take. So knowing that, what is the deepest that you believe we, the humans, have gone or drilled?
This one, your pop quiz, you can't stump me on this one because this is actually one of our more popular what ifs at Underknown. And it was, what if you dug the deepest hole in the world? Or what if you fell down the deepest hole in the world? It was the Kola Super Deep Borehole.
That is correct.
Right?
12 kilometers.
12 kilometers.
Which, before I knew how deep the actual Earth was, I was like, 12 kilometers?
That's got to be to the core.
That's crazy. And then when you find out that it's about 6,300 kilometers to the core and you sort of do some quick math, you realize we're not even, it's like 0.2%.
Oh, yeah. We've barely scratched the surface. If the Earth is like this, we've only dug like that deep.
So if anyone, and to that point, I mean, we've explored space and we continue to explore space and we continue to talk about space, but there's obviously a lot to better understand about the planet that we live on currently. And there's not a lot of people who would probably have a good guess as to what might happen if we explored the deepest parts of the Earth. But again, somebody that will, a good friend of the show.
Oh, yeah.
Host of Angry Planet and multiple other shows in the Science Channel joins us again today. George Karunas. George, how are you?
Hey, George.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
So it is, again, as Peter said, we've kind of just scratched the surface. So you have an explorer spirit. Peter mentioned earlier how little we know, let's say, about the inner Earth, and we've only drilled 12 kilometers deep. What do you believe? And I mean, not just believe subjectively, but what do you and your colleagues in the world of science and exploration believe we are going to find if we could go deeper into the Earth?
Well, the thing with the Earth is that we know a lot about the surface of it. Right? That's where we live. If you were to shrink the Earth down to about the size of an apple, the crust portion would be about as thick as the skin. And we have never gone deep enough to do more than even just scratch the surface of that skin.
Wow.
And that really helps to sort of put things in perspective. Most of our planet that we live on, that's been here for over 4 billion years or so, we know nothing about, or not nothing about, we can only make educated guesses about. We have no ability to see deep into the Earth. We can only measure reflections from earthquakes and hypothesize about what's going on down there. And we've learned a lot. We know basically what's going on down there. But the thing is, we don't know the things that we don't know. So there's all kinds of untold mysteries yet to be discovered in inner space.
Yeah, inner space. The exploration that's happened digging into the Earth was sort of similar to the exploration of space, like sort of the Cold War, US versus USSR. Give us a bit of background on that history, and also maybe what projects are going on in the name of science that are looking to go deeper.
There's lots of cool stuff going on underground. Last year, I was up in Sudbury, Ontario, and I was 2 kilometers underground in an active nickel mine. And there's the Neutrino Observatory, the Snow Lab Neutrino Observatory down there.
I went down that a few years ago, George, actually, for another thing what we were doing there, not related with What If, but it was, I mean, talk about that elevator ride down 2 kilometers.
Just getting to this lab is unbelievable. You have to go into an active mine, get dressed up with the mining helmets, the whole works. You get into this elevator that just drops and drops and drops at such incredible speeds. Your ears are popping. You get down there, and then you have to walk through this dirty mine to get to the lab. And the lab is established as a clean room. So you have to strip naked, take a shower, you put on special clean clothes, and then you're allowed into the facility. And they study neutrinos coming from the sun. They're looking for dark matter and dark energy, the stuff that makes up a lot of the mass of the universe that we don't really understand all that well. So we can learn a lot about the universe and outer space by going into our planet, because that those 2 kilometers of rock helps to shield the sensors that are so incredibly sensitive down there. So every now and then a stray neutrino will penetrate through the Earth and hit one of their sensors. So
wild stuff.
We're in this technological boom right now, kind of what was like was going on in the Cold War, but instead of trying to compete to go to the moon or to build a better submarine or something, we're looking outwards, and we might learn a lot more than we thought.
And it's interesting, some of the work that they do at Snow Lab around neutrinos and dark matter and et cetera contributed to the Nobel Prize in Physics, I believe it was last year, with somebody I think out of Kingston, Queen's University, whatever. But again, incredible work that's being done. You talk about going deep and what we can discover. Well, I had to go deep in preparing for this show because this wasn't stuff that I knew about a lot. And of course, you come across that we now believe scientifically, and initially, please, I was like, George, please tell me I'm, misreading this, that we believe that the core of the Earth is 6,000 degrees Celsius, which, wow, that sounds like a big number. But then when you actually remind people that that's hotter than the sun, I was like, what? Like, how could we possibly exist? Yeah. So, George, please enlighten us. What is going on there?
That's the mind-blowing fact of this whole discussion, really, is that the center of the Earth is as hot as the surface of the sun. And it is. So when the Earth formed billions of years ago, all of this mass congealed together thanks to gravity, pulling it all together into this sphere. The heavier elements like iron and nickel went to the middle. And it's all of it's under pressure. And this tremendous pressure creates a lot of heat. So you've got pressure. You've got friction. The core of the Earth is moving. So you've got that friction creating heat. And you also have the decay of certain radioactive elements creating heat as well. So all of these forces have combined to create this ball of hidden energy. And then the crust where we live is the layer of insulation that is not only keeping us alive, but keeping that sphere cool. And it's been cooling for billions of years.
Wow. Yeah. So,
and here we are just, living on the surface of it. Every now and then we see a volcano erupt and we get a reminder of this energy and heat that's beneath our feet. But for the most part, we take it completely for granted and don't even realize it.
I can't even imagine. Like when if a bowl of soup is too hot for me, I set it aside for 5 minutes. It's cooled down enough. Yeah. The Earth is 6,000 degrees and it's been cooling for millions of years. How hot must it have been?
That's some serious insulation we have too up here between us and that.
Yeah. So it's probably the world's best world's best insulation. George, we talked a little bit about how we've explored the depths of the Earth. And you could say we've also explored very little of the oceans. Most people say about 90% of the ocean's floors or of the oceans remain undiscovered. Mariana Trench is not necessarily. We know a little bit about that. We've been down, and as far as we know, it's the deepest ocean floor in the world. What else do we know, or what else don't we know?
There's so much. It's hard to get to, right? The bottom of the Mariana Trench, for example, is about 36,000 feet down. That's about as high as a jet airliner flies. And I had the great pleasure of meeting Don Walsh a few times, and he was on board the Trieste with Picard. The two of them went down to the bottom in 1960. And just recently, we've had a few more submarines go down there, of course. James Cameron and Victor Vescovo went down there recently with his new submarine, and a Chinese submarine just made it down there for the very first time. So there's been a lot of attention paid to the Mariana Trench, but there are other deep points in the ocean that may not be quite as deep that we still don't know anything about. We're discovering all kinds of stuff below ground. For example, a number of years ago, I went to this place in Mexico called the Nazca Crystal Cave. It took me 2 years to get permission to go to this place. It's 900 feet underground in the Chihuahua Desert. It was accidentally discovered in a silver mine. They were drilling away and they broke through into a chamber that was about the size of a basketball court.
Jeez.
And it contained the biggest crystals that anyone had ever seen. Some of them are 10 meters long and weigh 55 tons.
Magical.
They look like tree trunks. And it's so hot down there from that internal heat from the earth that we had to wear special suits filled with ice packs and a chilled air respirator so that we could survive inside the cave for more than a few minutes at a time. As soon as you step foot inside that cave, you start to die because you're combining the heat of the Sahara Desert plus the humidity of the Amazon jungle. It's almost 100% humidity.
Wow.
So it's absolutely lethal conditions. But it's so beautiful, like Superman's Fortress of Solitude, and nobody knew it was there. Like a geode hidden underground that you can walk around in. So who knows what else is down there?
Wow, take that, Indiana Jones.
Wow, that'd be so cool.
That is nuts, man. I honestly, like, you know, if I had a time machine and I could go back, one part of me says, you know, look, you have no regrets. But the other part of me says, man, I wish I would have been an archaeologist or, you know, doing the type of work that you do. Because, again, there's just so much left to explore and we know so little. And it's just nothing. There's nothing like that spirit of discovery and being able to experience something like that. So much more to talk about. Can you stick around so we can take a deeper dive, if you will?
I knew you were going to say that.
Absolutely.
So George will be back with us on the other side. But if people want to get the audio link.
Well, assuming they're not already listening on audio, they can just stay listening on audio if they are. If you're watching us on YouTube, we'll click that little link below. That'll take you to the extended audio podcast. And we'll hear more about exploring the deepest parts of the Earth with Angry Planet's George Karunas. We'll be right back after the break. But before we go, George, where can people follow you and find your work?
You can find me at furiouserth.com. All my links are there.
And are there some wedding pictures at the...
Yeah, I was going to say, for those people who don't know, George, but correct me if I'm wrong because it was on Wikipedia, but did you honestly get married on the edge of a crater of an active volcano?
An actively erupting, exploding volcano on Tanna Island in Vanuatu in the South Pacific back in 2006. the volcano was erupting every few minutes with lava flying hundreds of meters through the air while we exchanged our vows.
That is, and I'm telling you right now, that would be very difficult to hire a wedding photographer for that gig.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say George is the coolest guy I've ever talked to in my life.
That is certainly, like I said, 10 lifetimes right here.
For those of you who are ready to go deeper, click on the link. Come along for the ride. For those of you who can't, you're going to miss out. But if you have to leave, we'll see you next time on What If Discussed.
Welcome back to What If Discussed. We are with a man who has been lowered into an active volcano, chased tornadoes and a myriad of other death-defying things, and somehow lived to tell about it. The host of the award-winning, long-running Angry Planet, George Karunas. Welcome back to the show. And also, George, remind us of the other shows that you're hosting now.
Doing some shows on the Science Channel. So look for me on What on Earth, Strange Evidence, and Conspiracies Decoded.
Wow, that is a busy man. We couldn't get through a show about exploring the deepest parts of the Earth without referencing, of course, the classic book, not movie, sorry, apologies to Brendan Fraser, Journey to the Center of the Earth, where famously Jules Verne imagined everything from oceans to dinosaurs. And so the fascination with Middle Earth is not exclusive to Verne. I mean, there's been a lot of great fiction written about what could exist deep below the Earth's surface. Is there anything down there, in your opinion, George, besides rock? Or are there things yet to be discovered that could blow our minds?
Without a doubt, there are things down there that will blow our minds when we are eventually able to discover them. We just have no idea what is behind that curtain of rock. But one of the things I'm really excited about is extremophiles. Mm-hmm. So Jules Verne, of course, he wrote about dinosaurs living deep in these hollow chasms underground. But the reality is that if there is life deep, deep in the planet, it's likely microscopic. But that can be really interesting because microscopic life living in these hostile conditions, we call them extremophiles, they thrive in these extreme conditions, they can give us some clues as to where we might want to broaden our search for life on other planets. Because there are planets out there that have these crazy environments. And I did a project for National Geographic one time in Turkmenistan, where there's this pit in the desert called the Doorway to Hell. And it's a sinkhole that's about 100 feet deep and 250 feet across, and it's on fire. It's been burning for 50 years. And I stretched fire-resistant ropes across and rappelled down and became the first person to ever set foot at the bottom of this deep hole surrounded by fire. And the soil samples that I gathered, we studied them, and we found bacteria living in this completely lethal, at least lethal to us, environment. So who knows what's deep in the Earth's crust when you go even deeper than the Siberian borehole 12 kilometers down? There might be, who knows what, you know, living down there, but likely it's going to be microscopic, if anything.
And that's the type of unbelievably sort of earth-shattering, earth-exploring stuff you're going to get from an explorer in residence. I mean, this is where we're at here. We've talked about exoplanets on this mm-hmm. show multiple times in Extremophiles. Again, we're on the sort of cusp of this next layer of understanding ourselves and also the world around us. It seems to be out there, but also seems to be in here, right, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about deep drilling and exploration, but we haven't really talked about mining. Mm. I would think, if anything, it would incentivize further exploration underneath the mantle or the crust. It seems like the prospect of finding the mother load of mm-hmm. diamonds or gold or whatever.
Unobtainium.
Yeah, and you mentioned the geode, basically, that you found underneath Mexico. What else could be down there?
Who knows, right? So yeah. Interestingly, the gold mine in South Africa that's about, was 4 kilometers or so deep, the deepest mine in the world, they're mining for gold.
Hmm.
All the gold that's been at the surface has, for the most part, been stripped away. So in order for us to find more of these precious metals for jewelry, for electronics, rare earth metals, things like that, you got to dig deeper. And a lot of exploration, interestingly, some of it is done for scientific purposes, but there is a lot of exploration that is done for industry. So doing surveys in remote parts of the world and digging down into some of these places. And you end up getting science as a byproduct, right? Which is kind of cool because we vilify industry in a lot of ways. But at the same time, we can use the incentives of industry to make really cool scientific discoveries as a byproduct. So I would personally love to go down to the bottom of that that gold mine in South Africa and dig around a little bit to see what I could find.
Yeah, no doubt. Untold riches was what incentivized people back in the day. And then sort of world domination between the Cold War, where you had the USSR, the then USSR and the US, sort of looking to win the race to the bottom, if you will. And now, of course, to your point, just like space exploration, it's pretty much the private sector that's now driving that next era. But one of the things that we also know about us humans, George, is that we don't have a great track record when it comes to messing around with Mother Nature. And, you know, we're all aware of you know, where we are these days with the environment, climate change, et cetera, and some other things that have ravaged the planet from our exuberance, let's say. Yes, there's lots of things to discover by going deeper, but are there also risks, George, that we haven't thought about or not considering the deeper we drill into the earth?
Well, certainly just the hazards of doing it alone, you know, are certainly up there. All mining is dangerous. And if you're working in those conditions, it's extremely dangerous. But we also have things that are like fracking, for example. We're injecting water deep underground. It's causing earthquakes. We didn't realize it was going to be this bad. It's, a lot of it is hushed up and covered up. So, yeah, it's interesting how we are sometimes learning from our mistakes, which is kind of unfortunate in that, you know, humans, we tend to do that kind of thing. We'll continue in one direction until we screw up so badly that we can't go in that direction and we're forced to do something else. But often it becomes a little too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We'd like to be a little more proactive than reactive here, I think.
Let's put you on the spot here on in our what-if hypotheticals. If you could go to one of two places, the surface of Mars or the center of the Earth, which would you pick and why?
Okay, so as an explorer, which I am, mm-hmm. going to Mars, super tempting. I would love to go. I would hop on a rocket tomorrow if I could. But it's possible to go to Mars. People are going to go to Mars. We know that's going to happen. In my lifetime, someone is going to set foot on Mars. Going to the center of the Earth is many orders of magnitude more difficult, to the point where I would say it's, other than science fiction, I'm going to say it's impossible. So if you're going to wave your magic wand and allow me to make that choice, I would go to the center of the Earth. It's a million times more pressure than where we're living right now. The heat is equivalent to that of the surface of the sun. It is absolutely inhospitable. You have to drill through thousands of kilometers of first crust and then soft, hot rock through liquid metal into that solid core to get to the very center. And if you were at the center of the Earth, you would be weightless. It would be like being in zero gravity because you're really at the center of this mass. How cool would that be? So if you're able to make your magic spell and wave your wand to allow me to have to choose one or the other, let's go deep.
Okay.
Explorer in residence for the Royal Canadian Geographical Society. And that's how you get a title like that.
Cool title.
When you have a resume like that. But as important as your experience, your ability to communicate it, George, is literally second to none. You are a treasure that we have managed to all benefit from.
To uncover.
And really, really do enjoy your work, from a purely personal fascination standpoint, but obviously as a citizen of the almost 8 billion people on this planet, the work that you are doing and helping us understand a lot of these extreme weather phenomenon, understanding more about our planet, ourselves. Exploration is what fuels ultimately progress, and you're at the forefront of that. So continued success with all that you're doing. And again, give us a reminder of the things that you are doing.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Watch for me on various shows on the Science Channel in Canada. You can catch me on the Weather Network, and any time of day, go over to furiousearth.com. We're all born explorers. Some of us just take it a little bit to the extreme.
Yes. Take that, Indiana Jones. great stuff, George. Thanks. We'll catch up with you down the line.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
So, yeah, I'm obviously excited, as you can see, agog, if you will, because
you are agog.
Well, it is just something like I really, like I said, like I don't like to use the term regret. I think that's dumb. Well, not dumb, but I mean, you know, you are who you are because of everything. But you show up with a time machine right now and say, Rich, we can go back in, you know, crank up the DeLorean. And I might go back and talk to, you know, 11, 12-year-old, 15-year-old little Richie Garner maybe and say, you know what? Archaeology, exploring, like this, it just doesn't seem like the type of thing that would ever get old. It's just fascinating. Yes, there's difficulties, there's dangers, as we found out with George's life. But there's just part of you that lights up when you realize how much of this planet we actually don't know about.
We don't. Yeah, we. That's the thing.
Like, it's crazy.
You go through life doing what you do and interacting with who you know. There's so much more to this world that you have no clue about. Obviously,
yeah,
we're talking about 90% of the oceans undiscovered, uncharted. We're talking about us being a little pinprick on the top of an apple that is the world, with so much in between. I find it incredible people go through life with such blinders on and don't even think about what else is underneath their feet, in space, in the oceans, in the forests.
It's an amazing thing. And I don't believe, you know, of course we don't know what we don't know. I do believe at some point we'll figure a way, we'll invent something that'll be able to go right to the core to some degree in whatever way, maybe 100 years, maybe 10 years. You just never know these days with the exponential rate of technology. But as George was talking about, one of the things that has led to the most discoveries, whether it be petroglyphs, whether it be, you know, the stuff he was talking about in Mexico,
the geodes
and stuff like that. It is often mining, right? Of course, who's really digging? So the gold mine that he was talking about too in South Africa, of course, there's many stories in gold mining in South Africa where they're going deep and then bam, they stumble onto something that is like this, either a geotype thing, or even sometimes it's a tomb of some, you know, ancient race or whatever, like all sorts of wild things. Of course, many of the archaeological discoveries that have led to some evolutionary theory understanding have come through commercial mining, because who else is digging that deep? And as George said, you never know what you're going to find.
It's incredible. Like before today, I would have thought, no, industrial exploration, that's a horrible idea. And for the most part, it probably is. Yeah. But to his point, they're the ones with the deep pockets who can buy the big diggers, and they're going deeper into the earth than, you know, you or I can, obviously. Yeah. So in some respects, it's beneficial because they're going to be able to discover things deeper inside the earth, deeper down the oceans, even into space.
Yeah. And they're not just to fascinate us. These things help us understand how to often either live better or more about ourselves, that are going to help us future-proof the world for being able to not just survive, but thrive in a longer-term sort of sustainable model. Yes, there's some aspects of science that is just about curiosity and discovery, and it's kind of cool. But obviously, these things that we have been able to understand about the world we live in help us, theoretically at least, live better in the world. But as we also discussed with George, and I'm glad he brought up the fracking example, that is an example of where we weren't, you know, if you're only driven by the potentially commercial or monetary value of what we're going to find below the earth, well, you're not necessarily going to worry about all the consequences. And then all of a sudden you might, again, when you don't know what you don't know, you might end up going so deep that
you trigger something that we couldn't have even imagined, right?
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we dig so far into the earth that we create a hole and all the magma comes.
But seriously.
And never stops spewing
out. Tectonic shifts or something. Like, again, we're again, I'm all about exploration, but we have this tendency to just go, we're going to go touch the fuse before we know.
Stick our fingers in the
socket. And then it's going to be like, this is out. It's too late. But, you know, I think, again, that's why the work that George does is so important, because I think it's a perfect, delicate balance between the spirit of the explorer of wanting to take the risk to go farther so we better understand ourselves, but also not doing it recklessly where you not just put yourself in danger, but you put all of us in danger.
Don't put me in danger.
No.
Whenever you do. Thanks so much to, who's the Dos Equis guy, the coolest man in the world?
George Karunas.
The most...
Oh, the most interesting man in the world. I can never remember that guy's name, but yes, he has officially been usurped by George.
George Karunas, the most interesting man in the world. Thanks again to him for joining us on today's What If Discussed. If you want more What If, is it possible to get more What If? Well, I'm going to tell you it is, because we have a newsletter called the What If Explorers Club newsletter.
Perfect.
Sign up for it. You get tons of cool science stuff. You find out what we're doing behind the scenes, what kind of things we're working on. One thing we've been working on and is now available is our very first book.
The What If 100.
Correct. The What If 100. And as you can imagine, it is a beautiful collection of your 100 favorite What If scenarios. It's a what we're calling a must-have encyclopedia of imaginations. But it's basically a coffee table book in good old print and paper.
Beautiful for the old school people who like to hold something like that sort of tactile, like you said, coffee table book. But also for people who aren't necessarily looking for that experience, digital version available as well.
Yeah, there's a digital version that you can hold on your phone and cherish for decades to come. To get it and to get other things in our What If store, such as this coffee mug that I'm holding up, you can't see on the audio, you'd want to go to whatifshow.com. That's whatifshow.com. And there you can find things from our store. You can sign up for the newsletter. You can find our videos. You can spend a day, spend a week there.
Whatifshow.com.
Whatifshow.com. Yep. That is it for today. Thanks again for joining us. I hope you learned a lot. I certainly did. Wow. Fascinating. And I'm going to send an email to George after this and see if he's looking for a new best friend. Because.
Yes. Get in line.
Yeah. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time on What If Discussed.